For 38 years, he had sat by this pool, day after day after day after day. Just north of the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, for years, John's description was questioned. Is it symbolic? Is there really a pool there? But archaeologists have now found the pool and excavated it. John's description matches what has been found. Under the pool ran a subterranean stream. And every now and then, that stream would cause that pool of water to begin bubbling up. And people believe that whenever that stream started bubbling, whenever that pool started bubbling, the first person who got into the pool would be healed. Now, we don't know. That pool, the waters, it may have had some healing properties. Different religions of the day had different explanations for why people were healed by the water when it was troubled. The Jews believed that when it bubbled up, that an angel had disturbed the water, and the first person into the water would be healed. For 38 years, this man had laid there beside the pool on his stretcher and never been the first one in. I find it hard to believe that he hadn't seen some others healed in that time. But this man had long since given up on ever being healed. The average life expectancy in first century Israel was about 35 years. He'd outlived his friends already. He'd been coming to the pool longer than most people lived. And it's all he knows. He no longer comes expectantly with him. Nobody comes with him expecting to be able to lift him into the pool. He just comes every day because this is his community. These are his people. He can't imagine going anywhere else, doing anything else. Can you imagine if this was all you had ever done? These were all the people you even knew anymore. And if he's healed, who's going to be his support then? Who are going to be his friends then? Those people around the pool are like his family. He didn't learn a trade. He doesn't have a land that he can farm. If he isn't one of the invalids at the pool, how's he going to support himself? When Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be cured?" His response essentially is, "Well, I won't be." Imagine what your response would be. His response is his excuse. "Sir, I don't have anybody to put me in the water. And while I'm trying to get there and go down the steps, somebody always just brushes past right in front of me. There's nobody to help me. And when I try to do it on my own, I get trampled." He has no hope, no dreams, no aspirations. This is the way it has always been, and he is resigned to the fact that this is the way it will always be. And maybe there's some comfort in that. Reverend Dr. Homer Henderson asks, "Who is this cast off?" There's not one word in the passage about his faith. Not one hint that he believed in Jesus or anything else other than the magic water in that pool. And if we read just a little farther, we find out he's not even grateful that he gets healed. In fact, when the religious authorities see him walking around carrying his mat, they ask him, "Who healed you?" And he says, "I don't know. I don't know who that guy was." And then when they say, "Hey, you know, we're going to charge you because it's illegal to get healed on the Sabbath," he says, oh, "I had nothing to do with it. I didn't ask to be healed on the Sabbath. It's that guy. That guy did it." This is the guy that Jesus healed. Reverend Dr. Henderson says, he's just a real bum. That's who he is. No gratitude, no faith, no humility, and no guts. He didn't deserve to be healed. He didn't deserve anything. And Jesus said to him, get up, take your mat, and walk. And at once he was healed, and he got up, and he gathered his pallet up, and he walked. There are at least two messages for us in this story. One is that the man was lying in a pool, or by a pool that was literally in the shadow of the temple, because he knows that there is no help to be sought from that church. And he's better off lying beside a pool of water, hoping for it to move by God's action, than to go to the church and look for healing and help. He knows that the church doesn't help people like him. He's a lifelong beggar, a cripple, one of the undeserving poor. Who knows better than to seek help here? Who knows better than to seek community here? That's a hard message. And the other message might actually be harder for us. Jesus asked the man by the pool, do you want to be cured? And his response is, well, I won't be. When we look around at our world, at the problems in our world, at the handicaps we face, whether it's a physical handicap like the man at the pool or a metaphorical cultural handicap, what's our response? Is it, well, it's not going to be fixed? How do we respond to climate change, to reform in the healthcare industry? How do we address the worldwide refugee crisis? Are we handicapped to live in peace and not make war? We, like the man on the mat, struggle with spiritual inertia. Inertia is defined as a tendency to do nothing or remain unchanged. Do you want to be healed? How often, when we look at the ills and the problems in our world, do we say, well, we won't be? It is easy to greet one another with peace be with you without believing that peace in our world is possible. It is easy to sit by the pool and wait for an opportunity for peace instead of getting up, taking our mat, and seeking it. It is easy to vilify refugees as illegals, to declare climate change natural, to say that the uninsured should not receive medical care. It is easy to say that these problems have been going on for a long, long time, and to make excuses for why they will never change. It is harder to get up, take your mat, and walk with people who are affected by these crises. But it is just what Jesus tells us to do. And it is how healing happens. On this Memorial Day, may we remember those who have gotten up, taken their mats, and walked into battle for us, and paid the ultimate sacrifice. And may we consider the sacrifices that we are called to make. Amen.